Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Thank you for your presence. From the beginning of this day, these hours, Lord, you are with us. Lord, we pray, continually remain with us. Spirit of God, continue to take care of us. Minister to us. Give us the attentive ears to hear your word. Bless us to receive a word as you want us to be. Father, we pray, let your word as its purpose in every one of our life. In all things, help us to glorify your name. In Jesus' precious name, we offer this prayer. I praise and thank God for the provision what God has made. And also it's my privilege to stand before you to share God's word of this day. Today it is not a very theological message. It's a very simple message where everyone can understand it. And I titled this message as How to Live as a Christian. How to Live as a Christian. For that, the scripture I have chosen is Hebrews chapter 10, verses from 19 to 25. Verses from 19 to 25. When I go through this passage, I found something which was very much attracted to me to meditate on that. When we read it, actually it is from the New International Version, NIV. Let us open your Bibles. Pay attention to God's Word. We will read all together. Then I will separate from 19 to 21 as part 1. Then from 23 to 25 or 22 to 25 as a second part of it. Let us pay attention to God's word. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 19. Can I ask you to?
A call to persevere in faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thank you. When we look at this first portion, 19 to 21, what we observe from here, first of all, I can say, let me ask, we are Christians. Hello? We are Christians. Amen? If we are Christians, we must be sincere in our living. How to live as a Christian? Because of what is mentioned in this previous reading, about the once for all sacrifice. This is a continuation, once for all, therefore. Because the scripture started with therefore. So 19 starts with therefore. That means something is mentioned before. And what is that therefore? So briefly review once of all, the sacrifice was made once, effective for all people and all time, and all places. The sacrifice Jesus Christ made, it is for all people, all time, and for all in all places. What we understand from the previous, and something deep into this, animal sacrifices had previously been repeatedly offered, that all of us we know and we have seen, with all real effort. But Jesus is one sacrifice is more than enough for evermore, for all time and all places to all people. Jesus' sacrifices on the cross shows God's perfect righteousness and justice and Jesus' perfect obedience and humility. Righteousness and justice on our behalf and from His side is complete obedience and humility is revealed on the cross. When we repent, confess for our sins, and also confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, all our sin is forgiven. I hope all of us gone through this experience. So, let me repeat it again. When we repent and confess our sins and confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, all our sin is forgiven and forgotten. Amen. And the matter is settled forevermore. Amen. Therefore, there is no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, what shall we say then? If God is for us in this matter, who shall be against us? Hello? If our sins are forgiven by God forever, who can stand against us in this matter? No one. Amen? Amen? If God is for me, who can be against me? Can you say that to your neighbor? If God is for me, who can be against me? This is very simple and easy English. But it has such a great power in it. He who did not spare his own son. Romans 8:32. Sister, can you read it? Romans 8:32.
He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?
Amen. It is God who justifies us. Amen. So the Bible also proclaims and shouts, Romans 8:35 to 39, we are not reading. Who and what shall separate us from love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardships, nakedness, famine? Nothing. Nobody can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen. We have understood the love of Christ in our life. How many of you understood the love of Christ? Put your hands up. That is honoring God, acknowledging His presence, His love, and it assures that we are having that love, and that love has to be shown. So in verse 19 to 21, let me read it again. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, how? By the blood of Jesus. Verse 20, by a new and a living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. So here, we can see at least three things about our Lord Jesus Christ. What it is and who it is for us. In these three passages, three things I will bring it to you. Number one, from verse 19. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us confidence and boldness to enter the holy place. No amen to that? Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us the confidence and boldness to enter the holy place. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, the believers has been granted access to enter the holiest of God. This means you can now walk in the manifest presence of God without any limitations. The question many Christians always ask is, what happens when I sin and go against God? It is obvious. It is natural. Well, the answer found in the Word of God is, the Bible says, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. 1 John 2:1 says, when you sin, receive forgiveness of your sin by repenting and acknowledging the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ not only offers forgiveness of sin, but also sanctification. Hebrews 13:12 says, tells that Jesus also suffered. Sister, can you read 13:12? Hebrews 13:12.
And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood.
Yes, thank you. So in order to sanctify the people through his own blood, he has shed. That's why time and again, or month after month, it is a reminder for us, come together in unity before the Lord's table to fellowship and to remember, which was commanded for us by the Lord Jesus. Remember this. That is the new covenant what God made, the Lord Jesus made for us. So first of all, it is the blood of Jesus. Secondly, about Jesus Christ, verse 20. He is the new and a living way to the presence of God. He is the new and a living way to the presence of God. So what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This way is new because it had never existed before. Also, this way is a living way. It's not a dead way. And because Jesus is alive all the time, still he is alive. Jesus is alive. Amen. What is the proof? We are alive. Hello? We are alive. Don't we sing that Jesus is alive? He is alive and alive and alive forevermore. Amen. We are alive because Jesus is alive. Amen. That's true. Good. This way, new because it had never existed before, I said. In human history, since the creation of the world, many philosophers and the teachers and the prophets have tried to find the way to heaven. But nobody was ever said, nor has the right to say, I am the way. Is there anybody else said before Christ? No one. Even in the future, no one will say, because Jesus is the way. He is the way. There is no other way. It is open for us. It is open for us. Amen. So the presence and the cleanness of God is available for us simply because of Christ. All life shows God. But the love of God was truly revealed on the cross when Jesus' body was torn on the cross and his life sacrificed. God tore the curtain in the temple. This symbolized the new and the living way, open and available for all who believe in Jesus Christ. We are Christian, we believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ's body was broken. It is for us to enter in the Holy of Holies. Amen? Amen? Don't you believe that we are privileged people in this? Yes. Yes. The body was broken. First I said about his blood. Second is about his body which was broken for us to have the access. Thirdly, verse 21. Open your Bible, see that. Sister, read it. 10:21.
And since we have a great priest over the house of God.
Amen. We have a great priest over the house of God. So he is the high priest, all of us we know. This is the topic of this book. In Hebrews, what we know, the theme is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. He is the same. And the same means, he is the high priest on our behalf. So we know that the function of the priest is to build a bridge between God and man. How many of you believe that? Amen. This means Jesus is not only shows the way to heaven, but also introduces us to his very presence all the time. Think about this earthly life of 200 years before. He felt hunger and he had all temptation. Many sleepless nights, was tired, exhausted, misunderstood by the people, forsaken, persecuted, delivered to death on the cross. At this way, preparation for the present priestly ministry in heaven, interceding for us as a high priest. Today he is available because he has gone through all the way as we are going through. I don't think none of us going through like this list I have mentioned as Jesus has gone through. Greater than what Jesus has gone through. Our suffering, our trouble, our trials on this earth, no way and nowhere, whether in the past or in the future, never be greater than what Jesus Christ has gone through. That's why we are sitting here very comfortably. So here, our high priest is there on our behalf all the time to intercede. Amen? Jesus is the only one person who can cleanse us. In the Old Testament, the human high priest washed their hands and the feet and sprinkled the blood of animals to remove sins of the people. These things were not enough, for it is all external. But Jesus, through his sacrifice, cleanses our innermost thoughts and desires until we are really clean. God never gives up on us in this matter. God is always with us. He is always behind us. So this is the great turning point of Hebrew, from getting blessings to giving blessings. So Hebrew is the book of exhortation, encouragements, and encourages us to preserve us. If you are blessed, you need to bless others. How many of you know and follow that? That's why I said in the beginning itself, we are Christians. We are Christians. We are blessed to bless the people. Amen? Yes, if you are blessed, bless others through the rest of the verse from verses 22 to 25. As we heard about our Lord Jesus Christ, what he has been to us, three things I mentioned about him. And now it is our part. I titled this as five commandments or commands for believers or Christians. Verse 22 from NIV version. So from 22 to 25, I found five times it is mentioned, let us. What are they let us? Let us see number one from verse 22, chapter 10, verse 22. Sister?
Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water.
Okay. In the first part itself, let us draw near to God. Is there anything stops us? In the first part of it, explained everything. We have all the access through Jesus Christ. Amen? By his blood, by his body, the curtain is open. And also he is always the high priest on our behalf, interceding to our God the Father. So we can go to him at any time, anywhere, whatever way. Here, the encouragement to us is, let us draw near to God. Anything stops you? Anything stops you? No. Yes. God is spirit. So we can draw near to God at any time, at any place, where you are driving, in your bed, in your school, at work, while even you brushing your teeth, you can go and talk to him. There is nothing will stop you. Even when you are crying, when you are whispering, when you are meditating, the word on thanksgiving, worshiping. Don't think that only when you are worshiping you can see God or you can meet God. Anytime, anywhere, in any position, you can go to him. Those who believe it, say amen to that. From the beginning, the exhortation comes to the worship leader is, our relationship with God is a very, very personal and intimate. That is the beginning. So every one of us, if you are encouraged and the word of God exhorts us, every one of us should have a personal, intimate relationship. For that, that is possible only if you understand and follow what was said, what we are going now. Anytime, anywhere, in any position, all of us are having access to go to the Lord. Ayo. You can talk to your neighbor, you can talking with your children, you can talking with your friends. As you talk to them, how long you are spending you just imagine per day, how many times, how far, how many hours you are talking with the people of the world. How much you speak to God. Compare that. Is there anything stops you having fellowship with God? Nothing. You can't talk to him. You may be asking, what to talk? Most of you are having these questions. I'll say you can talk anything. Even I have any conversation with pastor or anybody, even that also I can tell him. This what I spoke to him. This is how we have to develop our personal relationship with God. We cannot hide anything. If you have that, develop that attitude as a practice, there will be peace in you. There is nothing that the dark places in your heart. You can feel the presence of God and the freedom from your own life. Nothing will bother you. Nothing there or nothing here. Against anybody or anything. You will not have worries, in short. Okay, let's move. So in that case, let me move fast. Verse 10:20, let us draw near to God. How it is? See the conditions. There are three here. With sincere heart. Number two, in full assurance of faith. You should have faith. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us for guilty or conscious. Having our bodies washed with the pure water. What about our attitudes here? There are three. With a sincere heart. God looks at our heart because He is spirit, not hard-heartedly. Not with the pretensions or a sincere worship. That God sees your heart is important. We should believe it. Sometimes it should be by your experience. That's why the scripture says, man can see a face of the person, but it is God who sees the heart of the person. Even this says, even more than, added to the depth of your heart, there should not be something hidden. You may think that there is something hidden. No. Even that too God can see. So we should seek Him and with a sincere heart. Secondly, in full assurance of faith. Not of faith, but full assurance of faith. Assurance means doubtlessness. He will hear us because of the work of Christ. So without doubt, we have to go to Him. Thirdly, with a clear conscience. Cleanse from the guilty consciousness with a boldness. Why? How? Based on the work of Christ which He has done on the cross. Everything was done. That is why we have the boldness to go to Him at any time. Do you understand this? So we can go to Him at any time, any form, for anything, with three things. With sincere heart, with full assurance of faith, with a clear conscience. So the first thing, let us draw near to God. Amen? The second let us is verse 23.
Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful.
Amen. I did not hear any amen for that.
Amen.
Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful.
Amen.
This is the promise. The one who promised is faithful. That is the assurance given to us. So let us have unwavering faith. Every one of us having faith. But we should not have unwavering faith. Let us never lose our grip on what we believe and what we hope. Our visible situation may try to take our faith and hope away. Our situation may take our hope and money, our reputation. It may try to make us forget God. The happening of life may conspire to shape our faith and hope. So, we must keep a strong grip on our faith and our hope that never fails. Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus is faithful. Amen. So the faith, hope, and love, these go together as one. Just like each side in an equilateral triangle. All the three sides are the same. So in that case, nothing is greater. Faith, hope, love has to go together. Even 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, it says, greatest of all is love. But here, our trust in Jesus Christ based on what he has done for us. That is faith. Our trust in Jesus Christ based on what he has done for us. Hope. What is hope? Trust in Jesus based on what he is doing and he will do. That is hope. Love is trust in Jesus based on who he is. That is love. Hope you understood that. Faith means our trust in Jesus Christ based on what he has done for us. Hope means trust in Jesus based on what he is and will do. Love, trust in Jesus based on who he is. So in chapter 11, faith is being sure of what we hope and certain of what we do not see. In Romans, we see that we rejoice in the glory of God. We rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, patience, Christian mature character, and hope. And this hope does not disappoint us because he has poured out his hope in our spirit. He has poured out his spirit in us. That's why and that is how our hope should not disappoint us anymore. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know that is the love chapter. Love is patient, its love is kind. The list is going on. But verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what do you say? Love always believes. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love always protects. We time and again, we know God is love, God is love. Yes, God is love, God is love. Yes, God is love. How much you love him. There are many things as a proof we know whether God is loving you or me or not. But there is no way and no time and no circumstance anyone can say God is not love. And even the whole world and all the community, all the religion also says that God is love. Is there anyone says any God? They are saying that God is love. Oh, God is love. But they have different God for different functions. But for us, it's not so. Our God is love, and at the same time, we too. And the manifestation of God's love, always I used to say, even in the scriptures, what we read and know is, the love of God was manifested when? When it was manifested to the world? On the cross. First of all, he sent his son Jesus Christ to this world to proclaim God is love. He came to show the world about God is loving the world. God, that's why 3:16, John 3 is saying, God so loved the world, he sent his son. We all believe that. And the love was manifested when he was put on the cross. When he gave his life to us. But always I also believe that. That is not only that. Even from the creation. When God created all things, the living and the unliving, the heaven which is in heaven on the, it is in the sky or the land or in the sea. At last even he made man also. But when he created all things, none of the things are of his own image. But he has created man. He said, let us create man on our image. So we only created by his image. That is the first love, I believe it. So whenever you stand before your mirror, you can see that. So even when Jesus Christ was there and the disciples asked, show us the Father. And he said, whoever has seen me, you have seen the Father. But for us, even I tell you, if you wanted to ask this question in your life, go and stand before your mirror. You can see yourself. So God is like you. That is his love. So you have to thank him. So why I say this? Whenever you stand before your mirror, you have to thank God for the beautiful creation. God has created you uniquely. Hereafter, I think, even before the mirror, you can thank God. Amen? You can talk to him. You can fellowship with him. So you are a different person. You are a unique person in his sight. Amen? Right. So, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. He who promised is faithful. If you put your hope in your money, your material, your hope will become hopeless. So, where to put all our hope? Where? In the Lord. Let us put our hope in the Lord. Thirdly, verse 24 of 10.
And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds.
So I put the two versions here. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That is NIV. What is NKJV says? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. First, we are motivating one another towards the act of love. So that is one of the things. This type of love is agape love, is unrestricted, unrestrained, and unconditional love that can only come from God working through us. Showing act of love is not always easy, and that's why we are encouraged to motivate one another to act of love. I hope you understand that. Even though the Bible encourages us to encourage one another about love or motivate them, it is not possible all the time. That's why the Bible says encouraged. We are encouraged. There will be those times when you need to show an act of love towards someone you don't like, and it will be difficult to sacrifice for them. To say that kind of word, to help them, to bless them, and to not to say your love, what you will do, what you know, and that will hurt you or hurt them too. You will need to motivate. That's why the Bible says, loving your enemy, loving your neighbor, loving others in general can be difficult. But that's why we need one another to motivate. Even when you see that, even the Lord says, He is not even, the Lord Jesus Christ has said, love one another, love. What it says, He said, as I loved you, you love one another. Because already we are loved. Hello? If God loves you, you say amen to that.
Amen.
Because He loved you and loved us, we are encouraged to love one another. And last time when I shared one of the messages, forgiveness leads to holiness. Even there also, what is the forgiveness is for most of you it is difficult. There also what God said, as I have forgiven you, you forgive one another. He set an example, He gave proof. All of us, we know the ultimate purpose of us is we should be holy because our God is holy. He said, be holy for I am holy. These two things also, just like as I said, are equally important. Without that forgiveness, you cannot make it heaven. Hello? This was very, very clear that I mentioned. Because when you heard a hurt in you, what did he say? The bitterness will develop, that will go get rooted in your heart, and it's very difficult to destroy, then develop into hatred. So if with hatred with somebody, there is no holiness, there is no chance of holiness there. So that's why the Bible encourages, be peace with everyone. I encourage. And be holy. Then only we can be holy as I am holy. So in the same way, love one another as I loved you. Love your neighbor as I loved you. Forgive others as I forgiven you. Be holy for I am holy. So everything we received. That's why as we are blessed, we should be a blessing. As simple as that. Okay. Let's move on. Second, we are motivating to one another towards good work. Acts of love and good works overlap. Your good works, like helping someone move, buying something, or they are in need of even groceries, and serving to welcome team, helping your neighbor, or dropping them some, even small things, even these are all the things, your good works, helps others to understand, to know that it's not by you or it is from God. It is the love manifesting through you when you are doing something, some deeds to somebody. So that is why we are blessed in this way. When you do anything, the people will see it is only from Christ. You know, one example I can give, when we, even in the classes also, we discuss about it. So what about non-Christians? How can he help? And non-Christians, non-believers, they are not of other churches. Is it right to help them if they are in need? Is it right?
Yes.
Why? How? One is provision we receive from God. Okay, thank you. Second, you know, let you know, In our church, we have a welfare committee. And welfare guideline is there to help people within the church or outside the church. And outside the church, there are criteria, sometimes even non-Christian, even Muslims, even other nationalities. And they are in need, they are struggling here. And the church extend the help towards them. And they may not, we cannot see them again in this country, in this church or elsewhere. Forget about it. But what the Lord leads us is, for an example, other nationalities. One day, if he hears the gospel, when he comes to know the love of Christ, that time he will remember, on this year, I was in this country, there is a church. The church has helped me to come here and to save my life, physical life, and now he has a spiritual life. He will remember. That is our faith. So with that faith, with that context, the Lord led the leadership to extend our arms to others too. So in that case, it is not only our provision, more than that, the day will come for that person to know the love of God the Father, the love of Christ. Through us, the world should know. Through our love, through our deeds, the world should know Christ is in us. We are belongs to Christ. So that's what the scripture says. I'll move fast. Okay. I'll leave something. Verse 4. The fourth letters. It is, if you don't have your NIV, you will not see this. 25a. Verse 25. Sister, can you read?
Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing.
Yes, for them. That's all. Yea, that is a part one. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Can all of you read that? Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. All of you read it? I accept that as your confession. God sees that. God hurts you. Because it is very, very important. Let me finish it, then I'll come back to you. Let us worship together. Together in community is very important. Christians have not to give up meeting together, because we form one family, God's family, or the household of faith. This is the household of faith. Now therefore, Ephesians 2:19, I'm not going to read it because of the time. And now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, Galatians 6:10, as members of God's household, believers are to show love for one another. Hospitality, tenderness, compassion, and humility. Hebrews 13:1-2. Philippians 2:1-3. You can go through it. And there are some who give up meeting together in the community of God. Some think they are Christians, but do not go to church services. If possible, that same say, I am a Christian. If anyone say, I am an independent Christian, impossible. No one can say that I am an independent or you are a secret Christian. There is nothing mentioned there. There is no secret Christian, no independent Christian. We are called together. We cannot live as a Christian life while neglecting the fellowship of believers. This is a valuable time for our spiritual nourishment. God did not design Christians to be completely independent, or we are called and united as interdependent. Hello? Can you say interdependence? Interdependent. We are interdependent. We need one another. Without others, we cannot. Without you, others cannot. In this church, when you come to this house of God, we are interdependent. Those who believe, say amen to that.
Amen.
Right. So when they compare with all other, even in our home country, when you compare with that, our country, this is much more, this fellowship here is much more meaningful and very powerful. You know why? You know why? This is the real church. Why? Different language, different color, different nationalities. We are coming together. That is the purpose of the church, the household. In your house, if anyone can you say anyone in your church, you have this many number or community coming together in one place? Can you put your hands? In your country, in your own church? Never. But in that case, you know how precious and how we are blessed have a meaningful fellowship, the house of God. How are you? Okay, let's move to the last 25b.
But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Before I go to that, let me remind you again in the previous. So what is the fourth one? What is the fourth one I said? Let us regular church attendance. All of you confessed. So you know what are the activities the church is having. Monthly once victory night. How many of you are there? All of you are there? Monthly once vigil night. So now, as you confessed, you should not give up coming together. Already you confessed. So this month, victory night and vigil night, I want all of you to be there. In the same way, castles. Okay, let's move. Verse 5, the point 5. The fifth, let us exhort one another. Brother and sister, it is not only you coming, you are not missing the fellowship. You also exhort one another to come together to join with you. So here, verse 25b says, but let us encourage one another, and in all the more as you see the day approaching. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day is approaching. Why we should do that? The day is approaching. Encourage one another. You don't come alone. You bring somebody. That is encouraging one another. If you find that somebody is not coming, even all the cell leaders, if one of your cell members are not coming, it is your duty, encourage them to bring along with them. So let us encourage one another. God has given the members of the body as a spiritual gift for the common good. All the gifts, everyone has a gift. Is there anybody without the gift? Is there anybody without the gift? Everyone is given the gift according to your ability. And those gifts are given to you, not for yourself. That has to be used in the house of God. Hello? All your gifts has to be used in this house. Nobody ready to give. All the gifts, all of you are given the gifts, you accept it. But when I say that it is given for others, you are not accepting it. Do you think that is for yourself? It is for others. That is very much useful in this house. This is the place to use your gifts and your talents. It is God given. Amen? so I cannot go further, but here I have to stop because of we have a communion. So, dear brothers, as a summary, the last, you can remember five fingers, five letters is there. You can see, what is first letters? Draw near to God. You first come, then let us have unwavering faith. Let us provoke others to good works. Means you can demand them, may encourage them. And let us regular church attendees and exhort one another. So if you remember your five finger, remember these five, God will help, bless you, God will take care of you.
We just rise up. We shall see the goodness of the Lord in this land. We shall see the goodness of the Lord in this land. Hallelujah. As you have just taken the Holy Communion, just a couple of minutes, just search into your life and just say, Lord, speak on my behalf. Speak on my behalf. Mention that situation that is there with you right now. Ask that the Lord will speak into that. We have gone through the ordinances of the Lord. We have taken His blood and His body. We have been a partaker of that. And it comes with power. It comes with a renewal. It comes with strength. It comes with hope. By the power of His blood, I decree that thing that is disturbing you shall disturb you no more in the mighty name of Jesus. That thing that seems insurmountable shall be surmountable this season in the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for the time that we've been here. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your instructions on how we ought to live a Christian life. Thank you, Father Lord, for the opportunity to share of this wonderful work that you have done for us on the cross, for this gift of salvation that you have given us, Father Lord, that you shed your blood and you gave your body, was broken for us, Father Lord. As we have partook of this Holy Communion, Father Lord, we decree power in our situation, Father Lord. We pray and we plead that the blood will speak better things on our behalf, Father Lord. As we enter this month, Father Lord, we'll go with that power, Father Lord. We will go with that power in the mighty name of Jesus. What seems to be locked, Father Lord, we decree it shall be open now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for someone that is waiting for good news this week. He shall hear good news today, this week, and this month in the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be. Father Lord, as we close this service, we ask, Lord, that your presence go with us, Father Lord. You go with us, Father Lord. Be with us, Father Lord. Abide with us, Father Lord. Fellowship with us, Father Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Before we share the grace, newcomers, just wait on my right here. Just come out to the door. Our welcoming team will be there to welcome you. Please don't run off. Just stay back and we'll tell you more about the church. Shall we share the grace, please? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.